Page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But for you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take the insert to the third Sunday after the Epiphany and chant the introit. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Praise the Lord, praise the servants.
Amen.
God. Mercifully look upon our infirmities. Stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
chant Psalm 62 in the front of our hymnals responsively by whole verse.
Son of God.
St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Nicene Creed on page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We sing hymn 856. The choir will sing verses 1 through 2, and the congregation will continue with verses 3 through 5. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in Christ, today, the third Sunday after the Epiphany and the annual Life Sunday, we consider three aspects of our lives as Christians. First of all, the kingdom of God in Jesus the King has come near to us. Secondly, we follow Jesus and are made to be fishers of men. And thirdly, we rejoice in the gift of life. Stand up and defend that life that God gives us, physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. The kingdom of God is here, right here in this place, in word and sacrament. We, who have various vocations and callings, are also called to be fishers of men. And we stand up for the gift of life from the moment of conception unto old age, the whole span of life as a gift from God. Jesus is the King. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus calls you to follow him and be a fisher of men. We joyfully speak out to defend God-given gift of life. So we begin. Jesus the King is here. And so the kingdom of God is also near to us. In Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist has just been arrested by Herod the king. Why? John had condemned Herod for taking his sister-in-law as his wife. This was a great evil that he took and stole his brother's wife away from him. John the Baptist condemned the king for this. As a result, Herod threw John in prison, and you know, he martyred John. He beheaded him. The great one who prepared the way for the Lord was martyred by Herod for his faithfulness to the word of God. But John had predicted, though he was the one that Isaiah foretold to come to prepare the way of the Lord, remember what John said? I must decrease. He must increase. So now the ministry of John was completed. He had prepared the way for Jesus and had baptized Jesus, the second Adam who came to fulfill all righteousness in our place. Now it is time for Jesus to begin his ministry. During the Epiphany season, we looked at him being baptized. And the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and the Father's voice as he began his ministry. And on Ash Wednesday in Lent, we will consider his being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. But Jesus, having been baptized and now beginning his ministry, comes into Galilee. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, down south in Judea by Jerusalem. But Mary and Joseph's hometown was Nazareth, which is up north, you can still visit today, just to the west of the Lake and Sea of Galilee. There Jesus was raised till he was 30 years old, the son, stepson, of the carpenter Joseph. Jesus was a carpenter, an ordinary man in the town. But now people are going to find out who he really is, his true identity. There he appears in Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. The word gospel literally means good news from heaven to earth. Good news from God to people like you and me. He said, the time is fulfilled. Jesus is proclaiming that he is the Messiah, the Christ, promised in Genesis, the one to crush the head of the serpent, promised on Isaiah to be stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted on our behalf, promised in Daniel to come at the last day upon the clouds as the Son of Man. This Jesus is that Christ. The time is fulfilled in him. The Messiah is present. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not that we stare up into the clouds and try to find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came in the person of the King. Where the King is, there is the kingdom. Jesus was present, therefore the kingdom was present. And when the kingdom comes, it always comes in both judgment and mercy, law and gospel. Repent, which means admit your sin, turn away from them. At the beginning of the divine service, you repented, you confessed your sins, and you turned from them. Lord, be merciful to me, sinner. Believe, Jesus said, the gospel. And that good news that is now beginning began when Jesus, as the second Adam to fulfill all righteousness, was baptized in the water. He took our sins into the water, and he came out of the water and gives us his righteousness. Jesus is the good news in person. For we know the rest of the story, don't we? That Jesus that was born and his ministry and his teaching and his miracles would bring us to Holy Week when he was crucified as our redeeming sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world on the cross at Calvary. And he who was buried in the tomb came out rejoicing, victorious in his resurrection. This is the gospel. This is our righteousness, our redemption, and our justification before God the Father, declared righteous and covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, baptized in his name, and having faith in him until the day that we die. Jesus is the King, and the kingdom of God is present right here and right now. Wherever the King is with his word, there he is. The King sent me to be your pastor and preach the word to you. The King sent me to teach you, and you parents to teach your children, and Sunday school teachers to teach the children the word of God. The King sent a pastor to you so that you were baptized in water and word at a font like that. The King sent pastors to you to speak absolution and tell you that your sins are forgiven. And the King sends pastors to stand by an altar where there's bread and wine. And Jesus gives you his body and blood under the bread and wine. The King is present. He uses these ordinary means, water, bread, and wine, to do something extraordinary, to bring forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation to you. My friends, the kingdom of God is present right here, right now. This is why we come to the divine service, to receive the gifts of the King. This is why you got up this morning on this damp and misty day and came to church, to receive the gifts of the King in his kingdom. Rejoice that the kingdom of God is as near to you as I am and as these elements are here. It's not far away. It's right here, right now, in this place. Rejoice that you are in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus talks about what it means to follow him and be a fisher of men. Jesus now passes along the Sea of Galilee, this lake, and I've been there and been out on a boat in the middle of this lake. It's 11 miles from north to south and 7 miles west to east. It's a beautiful freshwater lake filled with fish. He saw, as he walked and lived and worked around that lake, two men, two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were fishermen casting their net into the sea. This is their livelihood. You go out into your boat, these boats are about 15 to 20 feet long, and throw the net, pull it in, put the good fish in the boat, throw the bad away, and do that all day long until you can bring the catch back to the shore for your family to eat and for you to sell and make your livelihood. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. But Jesus then says, come follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. They had heard the preaching of Jesus already. They knew who Jesus was. All the word was going out. Could this be the Messiah? And so having heard the words of Jesus, and the words of his miracles was also going out, when he calls them to follow, they drop what they're doing and they follow him. and for the rest of their lives, they would be fishers of men. They followed him. Then Jesus went a little further by the village of Capernaum and found another set of brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were also fishermen, and they were in their boat mending the nets. You would pull your boat up to the shoreline, and every time you fished, some of the nets would tear. And so they had to repair the nets, hang them in the evening to dry out so they wouldn't rot. And they were calmly sitting there mending the nets. They too had heard the preaching of Jesus. And so immediately he also called them to follow him. And they left their father and hired hands. This obviously was a large fishing business to have hired hands. And they left their nets and they followed Jesus. You see, one third of the 12 apostles were fishermen. Two sets of brothers. Four of the apostles. Now, you notice here that they are called to be apostles. Jesus chose 12 apostles because there were also 12 tribes in Israel. These verses are misused when people tell people that you have to leave your regular job if you really want to follow Jesus and follow him and leave your job behind. These men were called to leave their fishing nets behind because they were now going to become apostles. They had an official office of apostle, and there were 12 of them. They would be trained by Jesus for 3 years, from Christ's baptism to his ascension. They were the ones that the Holy Spirit would then use to bear witness to the life of Jesus and to write the New Testament. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through the apostolic witness, bear witness to us in the gospel lessons that we read every week. That was their vocation and calling as apostle. But all of us are called to be fishers of men. We are not called to be apostles. We have our vocations and callings as husband, wife, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, employer, employee. You might work at a computer screen, you might drive a truck, you might fix plumbing. Whatever your vocation and calling is, within that vocation and calling, Jesus calls you to follow him and calls you to be a fisher of men. Following Jesus means being in the word and prayer every single day. Not once a week, not once a month, but every day. Be in the word and prayer. And pray that the Lord of the heavens and the earth opens up ways for you at work to speak with the person with whom you work, your next door neighbor, someone in your family. You would be amazed when you pray the prayer every week, Lord, open my eyes to see an opportunity to be a fisher of men. And the opportunities will be everywhere where you can share the hope that is in you, the love of Jesus Christ, so they too can follow him. In the Bible, the church is the boat. The water is the world. The fish are people. The net is the gospel. We cast out the gospel net into the world and he drags and pulls people, fish, into the boat of the church. This is why you are alive, so that within your vocation and calling, he can use you as you follow him to be a fisher of men. We are in the kingdom of God that's present right here. We follow him and we are fishers of men. And thirdly, we speak out to defend God's gift life. Both Jonah in the Old Testament lesson and Paul in the Epistle lesson talk about life that we have. Jonah, of course, now is willing to proclaim the word of the Lord. He had been spat out of the fish after being in there for 3 days. Now he is listening to the Lord. Now he does go to Nineveh. And to his astonishment, this great city that took 3 days to walk through it, he proclaims the message of the Lord to repent and told them, if you don't, in 40 days, God will overthrow Nineveh. He told them the words of God. And to his astonishment, they listened. They turned They fasted. They put themselves in sackcloth and ashes. Ashes from the greatest to the least. The Holy Spirit worked among them. And God saw this. He forgave them. And he relented and did not bring the disaster upon them. Life is all about judgment and mercy coming to us. Judgment to shake us out of our spiritual lethargy. To say, you're a sinner. You must repent of sins of thought, word, and deed. And then to cling to the promise of forgiveness, of restoration that Christ promises us. This is what gives us life. Paul in the epistle lesson says something that I repeat in my mind over and over again as a pastor, and I'm sure you do too. Where he, also speaking about life like Jonah, said the present form of this world is passing away. Let me repeat that. The present form of this world is passing away. So don't set your hopes on the stuff of this world. St. Paul says the universe will be burned up with a great heat on the last day. All the stuff of this world is here today and gone tomorrow. So don't get down and anxious and distressed about how things are going around us in the world, because the form of this world is passing away. Don't be afraid. Live in courage and confidence because you have the life of the world to come. God's appointed time has set a day for Jesus to appear on the last day. And the time is short. Who knows when our Lord might return? Paul said, how should you live? If you're married, live as if you're not married. If you're weeping, live as if you're not weeping. If you're rejoicing, live as if you're not rejoicing. If you're buying and selling, live as if you're not buying and selling. What he means is, have perspective here. All the stuff of this world is about to pass away. But on judgment day, when God comes and Jesus comes upon his throne in glory, and judgment and mercy appears, the day of judgment, parousia, the last day, the resurrection day, the ghost will be on his left. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the hell prepared for the devil and his angels, and to the goats and his right. Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of the prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the day, and that's the life for which we look forward. You see, on this Life Sunday, we rejoice that we have physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. Think of it. God gave you physical life. Your body is alive. He gave you spiritual life, which is faith, a gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives you eternal life, that you have life now and in eternity in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. We are fishers of men. We share the good news with others. We are in the kingdom of God, and that is where we come for the divine service. We also speak up for life because all of life is a gift. We show compassionate service to the unborn child, to the infirm, to the feeble and the elderly. We are Christians who speak for life. We boldly speak out in defense of all God-given life. We oppose the evil of abortion, which is killing the baby in the womb. And we rejoice that we can adopt children, take care of children, and treasure them. We oppose the evil of infanticide, which is allowing a baby to die after the baby has been born, a horror. And instead, we show mercy to the disabled and those in any kind of need. We oppose the evil of suicide, when people just take their own lives in despair, and instead hold forth godly self-identity, who you are in God, and no matter who you are precious to Him. We oppose the evil of genocide, which is the killing of whole groups of people of different races, of different nationalities and colors of skin. Instead, we hold forth love for all of God's children of all nations and languages and people groups. And we oppose the evil of euthanasia, which is the killing of the old people because we think they're not useful. And instead, we hold forth the dignity of all people, especially the elderly, who have gone before us and lived lives from which we can gain their wisdom. It is our gift to have physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. My friends, rejoice that the kingdom of God is near you in the King. Rejoice that you can follow him and be a fisher of men. And rejoice that we can speak up, defend, and rejoice in the life that God has given us. For the kingdom of God truly is at hand and is in our midst. To Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In your bulletin, please take out the Life Sunday Litany. The Life Sunday Litany is the beginning of our prayers today. Responses are indicated there. The Life Sunday Litany, we stand to pray.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. For the Holy Christian Church gathered here and scattered throughout the world, that by the grace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we may believe and rejoice that He creates, redeems, and calls every human life as His own precious treasure. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our Christian witness, that this gospel of Jesus Christ may motivate us to speak His truth and show His love to every neighbor, no matter what age, appearance, or ability. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this land and its authorities, that God grant them wisdom, nobility, and responsibility to safeguard in policy and practice the sanctity of every member of our race. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all medical professionals, that our Savior lend them His own courage and compassion to deliver relief in health and to reject every temptation to use of death as a solution to suffering. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those scheduled for abortion, those experiencing surprise pregnancies, those awaiting adoption, those enduring chronic pain, those approaching death, that our Heavenly Father sustain them in their distresses and open our hearts and hands to embrace, accompany, and encourage them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who permit, promote, and participate in abortion, physician-assisted suicide, and other violences against life, and especially for those whose hearts have been broken by the abortion of their own children, that God forgive them and turn them from their sin to receive His healing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our brothers and sisters suffering injuries, illnesses, or disabilities, that the good Lord visit them in their affliction through the fellowship of His body, preserve their life and their faith, and grant both quick remedy and complete recovery, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For any among us who celebrate the gifts of life and family, that they exalt with us in these blessings as tokens of forgiveness in Christ Jesus and foretaste of resurrection to everlasting life in the new creation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
You as the great physician of soul and body, we ask that you show mercy to John Kasarek, Mary Huntley, Diana Newman and Annette Geisler, Candy Darmody, Miranda Wente, her unborn child, and Pastor Myron Maltz. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and spirit, comfort the family of Dennis Brinkheader at his death on January 21st. Grant, O Lord, that you will grant faithfulness, forgiveness, life, and joy to the family who mourn his death, that they too and we may come to the joys of heaven also. Lord, in your mercy, you called us to the household of faith in Trinity Lutheran Church. Bless the work, all the work that we do here in this place in 2021. Pour out your special blessing upon us and your grace to guide us in paths of wisdom and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, eternal Lord, ruler of all, Graciously regard those recently elected in positions of authority among us, to be wise in counsel and high in purpose and unwavering in their duty. Continue to be with those who serve in the military, Courtney Tate, Alex Laffin, Emily Shelton, and Danny Green, Kevin Stevenson, Charles Gaither, Mike Gobble, and Ricardo Patanka. Grant, O Lord, that your holy angels watch over them as we rejoice in the freedom we have in our country. Lord, in your mercy, help us to treasure in our hearts what the Lord has done for us and the Holy Spirit given to us in our baptism. This week, pour out your blessings upon John Baxter, Ellie Brown, Nell Stair, Wesley Bachman, Jenna Harper, and Joe Green, Annabelle Gransberg, Alice Lemke, Elena Weber, Avery Keister, Joel Bacon, and Patricia Sepulveda. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray for the mission work of the Lutheran Church in Eastern Africa in Tanzania. Bless Pastor Jonathan and his wife Anita Klassing as he serves as a theological educator at St. Peter Seminary in Pimo, Tanzania. Bless the gospel work of Christ Jesus in Tanzania. Lord, in your mercy, to your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As the voluntary is playing, please fill out the ritual friendship sheets and put it in a basket in the narthex as you leave, and your offerings at the door. You may be seated during the voluntary.
Page 208, Service of Sacrament, please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks for grace.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord. Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. We stand to sing. Peace. Amen.